You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Hello, hello. This is Brooke DeVard, and you're listening to the Naked Beauty Podcast. This is a fantastic episode with Crystal Anderson. She is so incredibly cool, so stylish, amazing, amazing beauty. Looks like her hair is always some Technicolor, incredible creation. When she spoke with me, she had these corners with a lime green braided in, but worn with the casualness that someone would wear a low bun. Like, she just kills it. She has amazing style. She's an amazing point of view, and this just a great point around, like, don't take fashion so seriously. Like, don't be stressed and feel like you have to get a certain look right or look a certain way. Just do you. Just wake up in the morning and have fun with it. Fashion is supposed to be fun. Beauty is supposed to be fun. These are all tools we have to express ourselves. This was just a really amazing reminder of that very thing. I am recording this the night before my trip to Turkey. I have not packed anything. I will be gone for a week sailing on the agency, and I really just need to like hunker down. Someone asked me to do an entire mini episode on packing. I should do one, I still may, but just very quickly, let me just give you guys some very quick tips if you're packing for a trip. One, always pack accessories and wraps, because what you wear underneath, as if you have four different wraps, that's pretty much four different outfits. You can wear the same little white dress, and if you have four different wraps and a few different pairs of earrings, that's like a whole new look each day. I also really, really, truly believe in packing per day so that you are not just throwing a bunch of stuff together and then getting there and realizing like, oh shoot, I don't have enough pants, or I don't have enough clean pairs of underwear or socks. Like, lay it out day by day, and always, always have layers, because it's always going to be colder than you think it is. Always pack an extra swimsuit if you're going somewhere warm. And then always pack like one really fab dress, because you never know what you're going to be invited to. And there's nothing worse than like feeling like, oh, I have to go and buy something because I don't have anything to wear to this event. Just like, be ready for a party. Be ready for something fabulous. I tend to mess up by packing too many shoes. Like, I always feel like I want lots of shoe options, and shoes take up a lot of space. So I'm gonna think very long and hard about what shoes I pack for this trip. But I'm really excited for a vacation. I'm really excited to be on the beach and to read and relax. I hope everyone that's listening is enjoying their summer. Maybe some of you are listening to this on the beach. That makes me happy to think about you guys listening to this podcast on the beach. But yeah, I really hope you enjoy the episode. I appreciate all of the love. I love when you guys introduce yourselves to me. You guys have taken Instagram screenshots while you're listening and shared them. You've been tagging Naked Beauty Planet. Thank you. Thank you so much for all of your endless support. It means a lot to me, and it keeps me going. All right, guys, this is going to be a great episode. Stay tuned. Hi, Crystal.
Hi.
Thank you so much for doing the show.
Oh, my God. Thank you for having me.
Seriously. No, I'm really excited, because I feel like you have, like, the most incredible style.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Do you get stopped every single day?
You
can be on. Like, you don't have to be humble. Like, I'm sure you do.
But it's mostly because I wear absurd things like these fish slippers that I'm wearing today.
Where did you acquire those fish slippers?
Amazon. It was a joke that one of my old colleagues was like, oh, you should wear these. This is something Crystal would wear. And I'm like, I would. And so I bought them. And they're the best $12 I have ever spent. Truly.
I mean, it's kind of a flex, though. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. To be like, I'm just going to wear these and like still be really fab. Mm. I think people think of you as like a fashion girl. Mm-hmm. But I see like your beauty game, though, is next level. Like your hair looks like...
Thank you so much.
You change your hair what? Like, I think I change my hair a lot. You change your hair like... Totally different colors, cuts, styles, like what, like every month?
Yeah, probably like every month, depending on, yeah, especially in the summertime, because it's just like you don't have to wear a hat and you can just like really do fun stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, it's one of those things like if you're wearing like a t-shirt and jeans, but you have green hair, it's just like something like you don't really have to do much.
Yeah, beauty does the work for you.
Totally.
I have so many questions for you.
Lay it on me. Tell me.
You grew up in South Carolina.
I did.
And now you have this like fabulous job at Man Repeller as our head of operations. You're probably like one of the most stylish women in New York.
Oh my God.
But where, like, talk to me about how different where you grew up is from the life that you live now.
Oh my gosh. It's, could not be any more different. It's like, it's a small town. Like it's a little bit different now. It's more of like an Orlando type of tourist destination. But when I was there, when I was growing up, it was just a sleepy sort of like, still like a tourist town, but not, wasn't what it was. And so like, I don't know. I've been sort of the same way in terms of like dressing a little bit different and being a little like sort of an outlier and, you know.
I read that your mom like used to take you to thrift shops.
Oh my gosh.
So was she really stylish?
She is. She is incredibly. I mean, she just has like a level of grace that I could never even aspire to. It's just, it's very different style. Something that we bond over is like clothes and like talking about like fashion. And she just found the Real Real. And so.
Oh, the realreal.com where I waste all of my money. I literally got a package today.
Same.
I'm obsessed.
It's so bad.
And they also add that like competitive element where like you can see it's like on hold and I'm like, I'm not ready. God. And they're like, it's only going to stay in your cart for 20 minutes. And I'm like, this is so, I like literally break out into sweats as I shop.
It's a business model that I'm not mad at. They know what they're doing.
I know.
Cause you just have to push the button. Cause there's been times that I put something in my cart or my obsessions and then it's gone.
Oh, that's the worst.
But yeah, but she's like obsessed with it now. She just bought like this like wicker Cole Gaia bag and you can't tell her anything. It's very cute.
So cute.
She's so cute. Oh, I love her so much.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
I do think that style is one of those things that you have to like see around you and some like I think of, like my mom and my grandmother both really into style and I think that's probably why I was attracted to it.
And my parents always gave me a lot of freedom to sort of just be like weird kid and do weird things, and it wasn't like a, you know, they never really called much attention to it, and so I think that probably also played
that's amazing of them
to
do.
A weird adult. But yeah, I mean, that's one of those parenting things that I aspire to when I become a parent that they did for me and my brother and sister.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference.
It does.
It really does.
Oh, and my God, for sure.
Every time I see like one of your outfit posts, it's a good reminder that I need to step my game up, because I think I get lazy is definitely the word. Comfortable is another word.
Oh, my gosh. Me too. Totally. Me too. Seriously.
You do?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding?
I feel like every day you've got like a little something.
There are days, especially in wintertime, where I have just like waved the white flag and I cannot. It's like a bubble coat, hat, like Converse, jeans and a t-shirt and like maybe
that
a
still
sweatshirt.
Sounds really cute, though. That still sounds, I'm like envisioning it. That still sounds like a look. It's important to like remember to still try.
Yeah. It, like I said,
and have fun with it.
Yeah. It's like the world is so shitty right now.
True.
Like you don't have a ton of control over like your environment and what's happening, but you have control over like your image and how like how you present yourself to the world. And like getting up and getting dressed is an intentional thing that you have to do every day. And if you put intention into it, it's just like one of those things where you just, it's a part of your like daily sort of grind, but it's for you. You're not, it's not like you're not something from work or something you have to do with your partner. It's like just for you.
Wow. I've never thought about it that way. That's such a great point.
Yeah.
It's like something you really, truly, totally own.
Yeah. I think people like see me as a fashion girl and they think I get dressed for other people, but I truly do not give a fuck what other people think. I really don't. It's
definitely
just for me.
It definitely seems very like personal.
Oh my gosh,
to you. Totally. Like what you're wearing right now, like what an airbrushed like Bulls t-shirt. Like what's the story behind this?
I got this when I was 11.
Incredible.
In Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Incredible.
My brother actually texts me because it's his shirt. He let me have it like a million years ago. I was like throwing it out. He's like, oh, I think I need that back. And I was like, oh no, fam, sorry.
It's mine.
It's done.
And then you're wearing these amazing like fringed pants, which is like
my sassy pants.
Every time you step or walk, there's like movement, and then these fish shoes. It's just like incredible.
Yeah. It's one of those that you just have to have fun. I cannot imagine a life where it's just like you get up and put on jeans and a t-shirt and go out of the house and just like really take yourself super serious.
Yeah.
It will never be me. Not now, not when I'm 50, not when I have kids, not, you know, when I'm married. I don't think it'll ever be me.
That's why like people like Iris Apfel are so inspiring because she's like, I don't know, how old is she now? Like 90?
90 something.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm still, she says she dresses like a teenager, which I love.
Yeah.
And speaking of the world being really shitty, do you, I'm personally finding it very exhausting to be super woke. Like, I get it, but I also just like in terms of like consuming content, like I just can't, I can't do it 24/7.
No.
And I also take breaks from the news, which people are like, you need to be informed. And I'm like, so I have Trump blocked on Twitter. Like if people talk about him,
so proud of you.
I just don't see it. Like I just, I don't need that energy.
Uh-uh.
And I read the New York Times on the weekends and I stay in, like, I know what's happening, but I really, it's not a daily thing for me. I've really just pared it down.
Totally. I mean, for me, like I do work in digital media, so I'm a little bit more in tune to it than I would like to be on on such a, like, you know,
I mean, like, technically I should be in more in tune, but I just can't for my mental health.
No, but I mean, like, we have like a Slack channel, and so when things happen, like I think today Justice Kennedy is retiring, and I was like, fuck, what's happening? You know, and I could have dealt without that for today. Like I could have put that on the plate for tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Like I'll get to it. Yeah. I just don't need it like the moment it happens.
Yeah. No, I'm a big believer in not subscribing to groupthink where something happens and then like you just see it on Instagram by like by the boatload.
Totally.
Like I mean, I consider myself pretty woke and pretty like into it, in tune to what's happening in the world, but I also can't give it all of my energy.
Yeah.
I just can't. When something speaks to me and there's an issue that I'm super, I feel super strongly about, obviously I, you know,
you'll
do what I can
it,
or say what I need to say. But in general, I mean, you just spend your whole life being, you know what I mean? Being angry.
Even like, you know, this whole Kanye West thing.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. The album wasn't that good that like it, you could boycott it and be fine. You're not missing out on life changing work.
Right.
But I also just feel like it's a very slippery slope to start boycotting everyone who's had a moral... It's a slippery slope.
Yeah, everybody has a problematic fave. Everybody has, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's Roman Polanski or R. Kelly, which is the worst person on the planet.
I mean, R. Kelly, like, I can't get that. Like never, I can't.
Never, ever.
But, I don't want to hear your music. I don't want to see your face.
No.
I want nothing to do with you.
No, totally. I mean, I think, like, this... I can't pronounce his name, but the rapper who's 19, he got killed last week.
XXXTentacion.
Oh, my God. Proud of you. I would have never gotten that. You know, I just read some, like, really sort of vile comments about him because he had been embroiled in some really shitty sort of things that he'd done and not to, not to take that away at all, but it's like, you know, he's 19 years old or 20 or whatever he is, and it's like you gotta just want people to have some grace, you know what I mean? Like I get it but then like I read some article that's like if Malcolm X would have died when he was 19, he would have died like, you know, a woman beater and like all these things. So it's like you just have to, because you consume so much content. And I do follow quite a few like younger people, and they're just consuming everything, and they're not really like taking a second to like really put it where it needs to be.
Right.
Like, you know, I have an intern and she wrote something about it, and I was just like, had to pull her aside and just be like, let's work through this. Like, let's unpack it. And I get it, like, because like everybody wants to sort of be super woke, and I can appreciate like that level of activism. But at some point, you just have to like step away, form your own opinion, like figure it all out, unpack it, and then if you still have something to leave on the table, great. But you have to like unpack it by yourself.
Yes. Yeah. Do you know who you kind of remind me of? Only in your thinking, literally nothing else. Are you familiar with Charlemagne the God?
Yes, he's from South Carolina.
He's from a small town in South Carolina, and his whole thing is like he's very against groupthink. He's like people. I interviewed him for a story about groupthink, and he was like, people log on to social to like decide what to think for the day. And they just kind of get their marching orders from there.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's so true.
It is. It is. I mean, there's obviously, you know, there's a brown person that gets killed by the police every other day. And it's like, those are the things that hit home for me. And those are the things that I choose to invest my time in, because those are the things that I can actively change in some way, whether that's like activism or marching or like reaching out. But I can't like get into like the mishigas of groupthink on like the whole H&M monkey thing. Like, it was shitty and like whatever.
But there are also more important.
Yeah.
People are literally losing, being killed.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have the time to invest in worrying about what H&M is doing when there's the blood of black men on the streets. Do you know what I mean? Like,
no,
there's just larger fish to fry in the grand scheme of what's happening
in
the world.
I couldn't agree more. Okay, so you are the head of operations, which is like, I'm very familiar with all of the logistical work.
Yes.
And brain power and just strategy and organization that has to go into doing operations. But you're also doing it for a relatively small company. I mean, Manor Pellage is like a very small...
We're scrappy.
Small, scrappy company, which makes it even harder to do operations. Mm-hmm. You must love just like being a problem solver and a fixer.
I do. I mean, it's funny. I'm not really that organized. It's one of those
somehow you get it done though.
You get it done, but yeah, I'm not really like in general. Like I can't do Excel to save my life. And I'm not like incredibly organized in my personal life. But with Manor Pellage, and the reason I wanted to go back to a smaller brand, because I was at Refinery before.
And you did 29 rooms there, which was like groundbreaking, and now everyone's copying
sort of experiential.
Experience,
I mean, which is great, but for me, I wanted to be at a brand that didn't have a sort of like bureaucratic red tape. And with Manor Pellage, you just like it's autonomous, but we also have the ability to sort of like touch all areas of the business. So while I do work in operations, it's like
you're like featured on the site all the time.
It's great. It's so great. Like I was doing social the other day, it's just really like a all hands on deck, do what you got to do. If someone can't make it, you do, you know, what you have to do. And in operations, I mean, a lot of what I do is around like building out our IRL sort of
experiences,
community engagement, anything they were doing with brand partnerships.
Okay.
Is sort of what I was bought in to do. And then like any business development stuff as it sort of comes, which is nice. I can't be at a job where I know what I'm going to do every single day.
You need that like... Yeah.
I just need like some something.
You or thrive like, in that kind of.
I might as well work at a bank if.
right.
Do you know what I mean? Right. If it's like the same thing every day, it's just I feel like I'd be watching the clock all day.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I also think like Leandra is so inspiring. I remember when I first discovered the Manor Pellage blog, like in the early days of fashion blogs, like the very early days, and just like this feeling, like wow, I found someone with a voice. Mm-hmm. I found this audience that also gets it.
Yeah.
And I always think about that for my podcast. Like if I can have like a tenth. And a hundredth of that feeling
so true.
That people got when they discovered something like Manor Pellage, that's a win.
It's true. I mean, when I found it, like even though obviously Leandra is, you know, a straight white woman, as a queer black woman, I still felt very seen.
Totally.
In this idea of like I'm not sexy. That's just not my
right.
brand.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like no one's ever going to be like, oh, I see you in your bandage dress. Like that is not who I am at all. And to find a woman who understood that and sort of like really built a cheeky brand around just doing what you want to do and wearing what you want to wear and not doing it for a man or for approval from anybody made me feel incredibly seen because I was like, oh, okay, got it. I'm not the only one. Cool. Great.
Yes. You know? Yes. And speaking of bandage dresses, I know you spent some time at Howard, which is an HBCU, and I did a semester at Spelman College.
Nice. Okay.
So the daily runway looks with the heels and the hair and the whole thing just to go to class.
Yes.
So at that point, so you've left South Carolina. You're now going to D.C. To go to Howard, which is like, you know, probably one of the most famous HBCUs in the world.
I could be biased, but it is the best place on earth.
Yeah incredible experience. And so growing up, were you around black people?
I mean, my dad's Italian and my mom is black, but we have a very matriarchal family.
Okay.
And so holidays and Christmases and all that stuff are really spent with my mom's family.
Mm-hmm.
And all of my aunts and aunties and uncles and cousins. And so, you know, that was like very deeply rooted in sort of who I am, just on like a very baseline level. Yeah.
This may be a very ignorant question and forgive me, but do you consider yourself black?
Yeah.
Or mixed race? Is mixed race the correct terminology?
I mean, I don't offend easily, so it's like, you know what I mean? Like,
okay.
People like ask me that question often. It's tough. I mean, my dad, who is a cisgendered white man, was very clear with me at a very young age, like, you are half white, 50% of you is white, but when you leave this house, you are a black woman. You will present as a black woman. You will be treated as a black woman. And I want you to be equipped with everything that you need to have when you go out of these doors. Because we were in a house of like, I don't see any color. That's not true. That's just not what
No,
it is.
That's amazing. I think, my husband's Turkish. Mm-hmm. And like, he's slowly being socialized to understand these things.
Sure, sure.
Also in Turkey, I don't think he would say it now, but when we first met, it was like, what? We don't see race. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
It's like, let's just slowly but surely get you to see the light, because we're going to have a child that's going to be seen as black, and I want him to be able to be like your dad and have this conversation. Is your dad from Italy?
No, he's Sicilian. He grew up in Long Island.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're
so
like
real, like, New York, Italian, the whole thing.
The whole thing. But yeah, he just didn't play those games with myself, my brother, or my sister. Like he urged me to go to Howard. He's like, I think that's a good experience for you. You know, like, I think you should do that. He also would like buy me Essence magazine, like subscriptions for Christmas. And I'd be like, got you, Dad. Like, I appreciate it.
That's really sweet though.
It is. It's very sweet. I mean, he just really gets it that like, yes, I have white children, like all that stuff. He never felt like if I presented as black, like as in terms of like saying, oh, I'm a black woman. He never felt that was some personal attack against.
Right. Like you were denying
who I was.
Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't. Cause he just understands that this is what you look like.
Yes.
And this is how you will be perceived. I want you to have culture of like your Italian culture and like all of that stuff. But the truth of the matter is that's what people see.
People will see you as.
Yeah, for sure.
And then at least my experience at Spelman and Morehouse and just seeing the whole diaspora, it's like there's so many versions of blackness.
Yeah.
And I was definitely in the minority as a black person growing up. And then you see that and you're like, wow, there's so many different ways to be black. And it's so,
so many
cool.
Different ways. And you sort of see the trajectory of like, you may see like a very Whitley Gilbert girl who comes in freshman year, sort of like myself. And then like, they just like,
really, I don't see you as
down.
A Whitley.
Oh my God.
But
so
really?
Whitley. Yeah. Like, yeah.
I cannot. So like, what do you think it was? Like you just got,
I just leaned into who I was. Like, like a lot of the way I presented myself when I first got to Howard is because like, that's what you did. Like, you know, like pretty girl, put your hair in a bun and like, you know, you wear dresses and the whole thing. And then you just like start to like lean into like the me-est part of you. Do you know what I mean? And that's sort of what I did. And that's when I really started to like, express myself through clothing in a real, like a real way.
How do you tap into the me-est part of who you are? Like, is it something that you can consciously work towards?
I think so. I mean, it's not easy, you know, like, I mean, there's so many other things at play, but it's just so much easier to just be who the fuck you are.
Right.
Than it is to try to be like I say on Instagram, like I just play a cool kid on Instagram. Like I am the most regular human on the planet, and I take great pride in being that. Like I truly I do. Like I don't want to be a cool kid. I don't want to be
I don't
hip.
See anything about you as regular though.
I mean, and I guess I mean regular in terms of like I just do regular things. I like to play spades on the weekend. I like to hang out with my friends.
Right.
I'm not like at these industry parties.
Right,
I'm
right,
not,
right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Like like that in that
you
way.
You haven't bought into the whole crazy New York.
No, and I don't
fake scene. Yeah,
no, I don't want to. Like, I'm not air kissing people. You know what I mean?
It's been so long. We have to get, are you going to be at the Hamptons next week? And yes, let's get together.
Right.
You don't do the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you have to, and I understand playing the game. Like, I get it, but for me, it's just really difficult. And it's so much easier to just be like the me-est me, and then hope that people are attracted to whatever that is about me, because it just makes me feel good when I know that I've been as authentic as I can be, and people are like, I like you. I like what you stand for. Like, cool. You know what I mean? And it's like, okay, I've done all that I can do. And if they don't like me, then it's like, I get it too. I'm a little much. I understand.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just so, like, I tell, like, you know, my little sister and, like, her friends, I'm like, it's just so much easier
to
just
be yourself.
Be who you are. Truly. I know that sounds like hokey.
No,
but
that's,
it is.
That's very real.
It is. It's just, yeah, I get it. Like, I understand, like, the landscape of the world and, like, living through Instagram, but you have to run your own race and, like, do your own thing and hope that people like it. And if they don't, then they don't. And if you just have to be strong enough to know that that is the possibility.
100%. Yeah. 100%. And I think that some people come into their own later in life. Some people know super early.
Sure. Yeah.
And they kind of connect to it. Like I think about also the same kind of time period as Man Repeller, like Tavi, when I discovered her blog.
Right.
Style. I was
14,
like,
14.
You're like a child living in like, where did, was she from? Oregon?
Oregon, Portland, or somewhere.
And I was like, how are you putting together these like Comme des Garçons like looks? Like, but she
I
just.
Love her so much. Love her, love her.
I kind of miss those. It's never going to go back to that. It was what it was. But those early days of like the fashion blogs.
Yeah. And it was just like, again, magical. Like scrappy and just like throwing it up there. And it's, yeah, it's just, it's, yeah, I miss that. I
interviewed a girl for this podcast, Rachel Amandi, and literally 45 minutes into interviewing, we realized that we used to follow each other on like Blogger. Like,
oh my
she's
God,
like,
that's cute.
I yeah. Your blog, and I love like, oh my that. God, that's so funny.
I love that.
You have been very open about kind of dealing with mental health issues mm-hmm. and OCD and anxiety mm-hmm. in a way that I find to be so brave. And like, I definitely have ADD mm-hmm. and one of the things that you said in the article that you wrote for Man Repeller is that it really triggers you when people are like, oh my gosh, I'm so OCD. I have to clean all the time. And it's like, it's not like that. And people will always casually be like, oh, sorry, I'm so ADD. And I'm like, no, you're probably not. Like, right. Have you been diagnosed? Like, don't just say that.
Yeah. It's so flippant. So yes. Weird.
Two questions. One, what made you feel comfortable to be open about kind of dealing with mental health things? Mm-hmm. And then two, I really liked how you talked about how medication and therapy has been really helpful to mm-hmm, you. Mm-hmm. Where are you kind of now in dealing with your mental health?
I mean, it's an ongoing process for mm-hmm. the rest of my life. And as soon as I realized that I needed to get help outside of myself or my family or my partner at the time, I just knew that that was what I needed to do to maintain the life that I wanted to live. And so mm-hmm. I made peace with that really quickly. It's a no-brainer. You have a headache, you take medicine. You right. have breast cancer, you have chemo if you need to.
I think people feel ashamed.
Totally. Yeah, there's so much
shame. And they feel
like
if I take medicine, that means there's something wrong with me.
Yeah, it's a validation. Like, if you take medicine, it's a validation that there's an issue. Like, it is an issue. Like, you know, it's an illness. The minute that I was able to, like, really just be like, this is what I need to do. I feel better when I do these things, so that's what I'm going to do. If you're hungry, you eat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're thirsty, you drink. If you don't feel well mentally, you take Lexapro or Klonopin or right. whatever it is that you need to take.
Right.
And then you go to therapy and you just have to, like, those are the, for, like, it's tough when people are like, oh, I don't want to take medicine. I don't want to be that person. And I'm like, okay, well, like, I get that. And I can appreciate, like, you doing what's right for your body and your mind. But for me, there is no honor lost in doing what I need to do. And if that means I need to take a pill every day for the rest of my life, I got time to do that. It takes me 4 seconds every day. It's nothing. It's nothing.
And it makes you feel better.
It makes me feel better. It's like a chemical imbalance. Like, it is... When people are like, it's all in your head, it's like, it's really not. It is mm-hmm. truly a chemical imbalance. You can see it on a scan. Like, it is a mental manifestation of a physical thing. And that's what you have to do to feel better. Well, that's what I had to do,
mm-hmm.
you know?
You have a very high-pressure job.
Yeah.
And New York City is probably the most... I think that huge percentage of people in New York are dealing with anxiety.
Oh, for sure.
Right? Because it's like, it naturally selects for it because you have to be super ambitious to like make it here.
Totally.
The pace of work is just constant. Mm-hmm. Some days I feel like I've gone through like a washing machine, like mm-hmm. a dryer. Like I'm just like, oh my God. I'm
like rattled. Yeah.
Like I'm just, all of my nerves are rattled for and sure. It's just been one day. So how do you manage your extremely high pressure job? Mm-hmm. Also dealing with having like anxiety.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I check in with myself all the time, every day. Like, if there's, like, you know, like, I had a panic attack the other day at work. Just sitting there doing my shit and just had a full-on panic attack.
And, like, your breathing changes and, like, do you know what it is when it's happening?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm like, I feel like I'm going to die, but I know I'm not. I know what this is. And those are just, like, because I'm equipped at this point. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't always that way. There were times when I was like, I'm actually going to die.
And do you think therapy, like, kind of gave you...
I think it was therapy. I think it was also being in an inpatient facility where I would have those panic attacks and have to, like, deal with it in a controlled environment so mm-hmm. you feel safe. And you just, like, have to ride the wave in, like, you know, a room with maybe your roommate sitting next to you. But you're in a controlled environment, so you're able to, like, recognize what those things are so that when you get into an uncontrolled environment, mm-hmm. you go, okay, I know what this is. I know how to deal with it.
Right.
It's fine.
And so how do you deal with it?
My mental health comes before anything. It
right.
comes before work. It comes before dating. It comes before partners. It comes before anything. You know, I'm really open with my boss, who's fantastic, you know, about saying like, hey, today's not a good day. Or, hey, I need to step away for 5 minutes or mm-hmm. whatever. And I just do what I have to do. I could power through and be at 45%. You
right.
know what I mean? And just like just working through it, working mm-hmm. through it, working through it, not going to therapy when I need to, or just like, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like mm-hmm. burning both candles. Or I can do the everyday maintenance and the things that I need to do every day and be firing at 100%. Do you know what I mean? I think that's most people in New York. Everybody burns the candle. Everybody works until 9 o'clock.
It's so true.
You know what I mean? And then try to like eke out time to like for family or for like your partner or whatever. But you just have to like make time for yourself, and you just have to say like, okay, I have to do what I need to do so that I can be at 100% or at least 80%.
80%.
You know what I mean? Like I can't function at 45. Right. I'm like, I'm good to nobody.
I know.
Not to myself, not to anybody, not to my work, not to, you know what I mean? It's just, I'm not.
It's so true.
What I've been trying to do recently is at least once a day leave the office and just go outside.
Absolutely.
Even if it's just to get an iced coffee.
Totally.
Even if I'm just I'm just going to listen to a podcast for 15 minutes and just walk around Bryant Park.
Yeah.
It makes a huge difference.
It does. Like, we're a culture of sad desk lunches and
eating a salad out of a plastic bowl.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, we've all been there. And so it's like, if I'm going to eat at my desk, which is almost every day, I either go get my lunch, or if I bring my lunch, I like go out before or after. Like, I just, you have to find those little like life hacks and those small things that give you some joy, because I don't want to be one of those people who just lives for the weekend. You know what I mean? I don't
want to
be that person. I
mean,
don't,
because
know?
That's always the danger when you have, like, when you're not an entrepreneur, like when you have, when someone else is paying you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I hate the culture of like, happy Friday. And it's like, so we're just like all just acknowledging that like we're
just
happy because it's over.
Yeah.
You know?
No,
and then being
like,
oh, Monday. Like,
right. Then you have the Sunday scaries where it's like, you know, 5 o'clock on a Sunday and you're like, oh God, I got to go back there again.
Right.
You know what I mean? I
no
enjoy
one should live
my
that
job
way.
So much because I take time for myself to do things during the week.
Yes.
And I'm tired. It's not like I'm 36. You know what I mean? I'm not 21.
Girl, okay, we need to get into your skincare routine soon because what?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm not like 22 years old. So it's like, I'm tired or I'm like whatever, but I make myself do things for myself. If it's going out with a friend or if it's just like stopping by one of my favorite boutiques before I go home, mm-hmm. or something, so that it's just not like you're work living to work instead of working to live.
Between us, though, even though like maybe some of my friends are going to hear this, but sometimes like I have plans with friends to like get a drink after work, and I'm just really hoping it's canceled.
Oh, same.
And then when it's canceled, I'm so happy.
No. Trust. Because I like to be the. This is awful, but. Safe space. I like to be the one to determine when I do or what
same.
I do. Like, so
same,
you know.
Same.
Oh yeah. Like there's those times where I'm like, you know, when you're like on a Friday night, you're having a drink, you're like, oh, let's meet up on Tuesday.
Yeah. And then you're, and
so
then
good.
It's Tuesday and you're like, fuck, I really don't want to do that.
Yeah. No. Same. I like to be able to prescribe my fun for me. Do you know what I mean? And also be able to like decide like, hey man, I'm just not in the mood for it today.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I also think that I've realized that in any given week, I can only do two. This sounds so.
No,
I feel like this is like my sweet spot. Like so one, Friday nights are for me. Like,
you're right.
I'm going to stay home. I'm going to do a face mask. I'm going to watch a movie, like cook at like Friday nights. I'm not trying to go out and party.
Same.
Saturday, maybe Thursday, maybe Friday now. I feel like I can only, during the weekday, I can only really do two things.
That's true. Yeah.
Outside of work.
Yeah, no, same. Yeah. Like, but you, at least you're doing two. Like, I know a lot of people who just like every single day, it's like you leave work, you go home.
Go to an event.
Yeah.
They go home and do nothing.
Just go home
and just
do
watch
nothing.
Netflix.
Or just like, and that's fine, but it's just like, that's how you waste your life. Like, I've done it. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've spent years where I was just like going to work and coming home, to work,
yeah.
going to work, cooking dinner, and then like, and I'm like, I'm not June Cleaver, and I'm not like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't, there is more to life, and yeah, you're tired sometimes, and you wake up like to go to work the next day, and you're like, ugh, shouldn't have done that,
those are the things that like make it worth it.
Yeah, I want to feel like I've lived a couple lifetimes in this life to look back and be like, oh, I did that one thing for 25 years. I'm not down.
Yeah. Are you into astrology at all?
I'm not. I feel
What's
like
your sign?
Aquarius.
Okay, that makes sense though.
Does it?
It totally does.
Okay.
So have you like looked into the trades and stuff?
No, I know nothing about.
Really?
No, I know nothing about it. So bad.
Really?
So bad. I know.
Aquarius is like, do you think about like futurism and like the future a lot?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's like a big trait of like
it's
Aquarius.
It.
Yeah. And they're very cerebral.
Someone did mention like being in your head and being very cerebral and the whole thing.
Yeah.
The other day.
That's so funny. Okay, tell me about the beauty trends that you're like absolutely obsessed with.
I love a dewy like Glossier moment. I'm all for it. I really love it so much. Like nothing makes me happier than like dewy skin.
Dewy skin.
Yeah, like freshly fucked dewy skin. We're just like, you're just like you just came, like, yeah, came out. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I look like that.
Like the Vaseline on the eyelids, yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah, as long as it's like not too contrived, because I've seen people do it, I'm like, ooh. But like, if it just feels like really natural.
Yeah, it's hard, but it's hard to do.
It is hard to do.
How, like, if you want to achieve that look, which products do you use?
My holy grail that I just found is this product from Drunk Elephant. Have you heard of them?
I just think that, like, what they charge for marula oil is just, like, insane. Offensive. Well, and I just feel like, look on the back and, like, order those products. Oh, like, that's my whole thing. I'm like, you can make this yourself.
Okay, so then I'm falling in the trap, because that's what I was going to say, the marula oil.
Girl, before you leave, let me show you the marula oil I have, and I'll show you where I bought it, and I'll show you, like, how much I paid for it.
Oh, my God, I'm that person.
It's okay. A lot of people are there. This is like my business model, but like, oh, I just feel like I want to like educate women, yeah, on how to create their own things and source their own products, yeah, but like it's intentionally confusing.
Yeah.
That's why they can charge like literally $70, yeah, for marula oil. But anyway, okay. I think they're fabulous. Like their products are quality. I just think they're a little expensive.
But there's a couple that they have. There's like a peptide lotion thing that they have that's also really good.
Okay. I couldn't make peptides, right, so that seems worth paying for. Yeah.
But the marula oil, I'm like all in. And now I feel like an asshole.
No, it's fine. You don't know until you know.
True.
I didn't know. Like, I was buying like really expensive argan oil from Josie Maran.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was like, wait, I can just buy regular. This is just cold pressed argan oil. Like, yeah, I don't have to. It doesn't have to be in a branded bottle.
Yeah.
No, or probably. I can just like keep the Josie Maran bottle and like add the. Yeah.
And there you have it.
Exactly.
There you go.
Okay, so you use marula oil to give yourself that glow?
I do. I use marula oil, and there's also this product from Milk. It's like...
Oh, the stick?
Yeah. No,
the holographic?
No, oh. No. It's like a little... it's just for like that dewy look, but it's almost like, remember MAC lip gloss?
Yes.
It's almost like that.
Who could forget?
You know, like with your whole, all your, yes, hair and face on your mouth. It's like that, but not nearly as sticky. And I just put like a little here, a little on my eyelids just to look like, you know, that like dewy glow.
Dewy.
It's just perfect. Perfection. And I love a little bronzer, and then I'm out the door.
Which bronzer do you favor?
You know what? As I've tried MAC, I forgot.
It's called Mineralized Skin Finish.
Yes.
So good.
Like the yes. Concave. Yes.
Yes.
It's my favorite.
It's so good.
It's so good.
It's the only thing I buy from MAC, really.
Right. Me too. But it's not like, you know, some bronzers are ashy, or mm-hmm, they just like don't do it for brown girls.
No.
I've left and come back to that one so much. And I'm like, okay, I just need to quit playing. Like this is it.
You're it. This, yeah. I know.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
It's funny, like when you use a product over and over again, you feel like, oh, I should try something different. And then you just come back to what,
yeah,
works.
Yeah, because you try something expensive and then you're like, oh, yeah, and now I got it. I just need to quit playing.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's my go-to.
What else do you love?
Oh, what else do I love? I love a good chunky lash. I'm from the South. I like longer the lashes, higher to God.
Okay, so a fake lash.
Does it have to be fake? No, I don't think that I love like fake lashes, mm-hmm, but just like
you have beautiful lashes. Are these your natural lashes?
Do I have mascara on today? No, I don't.
Wow.
Thank you.
You're so lucky.
But no, I like clumpy, just like
you like the clump.
I do. I really do.
It's a look.
It is like a bare face, like a clean,
ooh,
dewy,
yes,
face.
Yes.
Just like lashes. Mm,
I like that.
It's my favorite.
That's such a good look.
It's my favorite.
That is a good look.
Yeah. I know it's like kind of silly, but I like literally like in the mirror putting on like three or four.
Yeah. And I think the key is also the bare face with that.
Right.
Because you can't do too much.
No, you can't. You can't do like a bunch of stuff and then do that as well, because it's like, where are you going?
Yeah.
But if you just do just that, it's just like, there's something so chic about, mm-hmm, it to me. Like clean and like.
Yes.
It's the
clean chic look is not getting a lot of play these days. I mean, maybe I'm, you know, just coming back from the BET Awards in LA. Like,
no,
I just.
No one's doing it.
No one's doing it. But it's like, I always say, like, the pendulum has to swing the other way. Like,
I hope so.
Like, the contour and the full thing can't.
The things that I hate, so we can certainly jump into that.
Okay, well, let's hear one more thing you love before we start tearing people down. Okay. Even though, like, I feel like I know my listeners pretty well, and they're just, like, not doing the most.
This isn't really beauty so much, but I love this, like, baby hair thing that's happening.
Yes,
I really do.
Me too.
I mean, like, again, it has to be very nuanced and, like, right.
There's a way to do
There's
it.
There's a way to do it. But I do love it. I just think it's so cute. Like,
controversial.
Also, like, young girls doing it. And I'm like,
it's really
so cute.
It is really cute.
Is
okay,
cute.
Controversial question. How do you feel when white women do it?
Fuck no. No, because the thing is, I because am I allowed to curse?
Of course. Go off. I love that,
no.
You just go, the thing is, no.
No.
Because, like, I've seen this conversation before where, like, where white women are like, oh, like, I'm pulling my baby hairs out. And I'm like, just, can we have something?
Can we have anything?
Can we just have baby hairs?
I like, know.
You have, like, just give us that.
Give
just
us that.
Like,
I know.
Don't gel it down. Like, your hair is wispy. And that, like, you, like, they have baby hair, but it's a different baby
hair. It's like, you have your thing.
Right. You have a very different baby hair. Like, you can have yours. It's a little bit wispy. It's not, like, laying down. But for the most part, brown girls just have to, you know what I mean? They don't really have to do much. And you can have, like, my little sister has, like, beautiful, like, crazy hair, but her baby hair is just,
I know.
Like,
I never like brush it. I need to like start getting into my edges more.
I don't think so.
My hair is always messy though. And
no,
I'm like, this is just
great.
My natural hair look.
See,
it's going
to
be
saying.
Messy.
That's what I'm saying. Like your baby hairs right now, everything, but you didn't do anything.
You didn't
have to do anything. They're just there.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So I don't want to see a white woman with like swoop, like genuine, like no.
Cause white women are already doing the cornrows or boxer braids or whatever they call them these days. I mean, there are several white women, I would say maybe in 5 miles of where we are right now, that have your exact hairstyle.
Without a doubt. And have no idea where it came from.
Of course not. But they're like, I'm killing it.
Or Kim Kardashian.
I know. Did you see Kim come out in those cornrows recently?
This is the thing. So this is what happened. And then, like, okay, because Kim is such a troll. Like,
She really is.
She knows what
she's doing, and she knows the timing and the perception.
Yeah. So she did that at the MTV Awards, but that was the same day that Beyonce dropped her album.
Did you hear that Jay-Z line that was like, put your scarecrows up, they're coming for cornrows?
Yes.
And I was like, and here she comes stage left, like,
she thought, on cue. She thought that that was going to cause a firestorm, but people were too busy getting their whole entire lives
from the
together,
Carters,
like, to be worried about what she was doing on the red carpet. Like, but I knew, like, I just saw it and I was like, she's trolling. She's just like,
I know. I think Taylor Swift trolls too.
Without a doubt.
Like, when she did that Earth, Wind, and Fire cover, I was like, you're trolling black people.
Like,
you're trying to trick us.
That is literally the black national anthem of every barbecue that's ever existed in life. Like, what are you doing?
You know what you're doing.
Yeah. They know. And so that's, I can't do it.
I do love the baby hair trend. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So which hair products, like, are there certain gels that you like? Is there a certain line? I just met the CEO or founder, I should say, of Camille Rose. And I was like, do you know Camille Rose? Oh, incredible natural hair products.
Oh my
like
gosh. Okay.
Very like yes. And it's like a black owned company and she uses like great aloe vera. I mean, I think it's probably the best products I've ever tried for natural hair.
Okay.
Really good.
Good to know.
What for gel I use Eco Styler, which is like
the national brand of the universe. Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody uses that.
So you do Eco Styler too?
I don't. Just because, like, well, I'll put it, like, on my braids if they're starting to get crazy, and I'll just, like, tie it down.
Yeah.
But just, like, for, like, edges and that sort of thing, I like to use, like, Shea Moisture stuff that doesn't have actual gel in it, because then my hair gets, like, cakey and weird.
Mm,
and, like,
yeah, I, gel can be...
Yeah, it can be hard to
so
manage.
So you use, like, a curl cream.
Yeah, yeah, and then I just have to do it every day, but that's fine. That's
okay.
Fine. I'm down for that.
You do the pink and white, I forget, the hibiscus.
I think it might be the hibiscus. There's a couple that I use. Like, they have, like, this one coconut milk thing.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Okay.
So there's a couple products from their line that I use.
Yeah.
Just depending on the day.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Now for the things that you're just really over.
Oh, God. So many. I'm so over contour. I cannot tell you. I just want it to be done.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't... Like, it's not one of those things that, like... I don't think it adds to... It, I've never seen a woman wear it, and I'm like, oh my God, you look so beautiful. You know what I mean? Like, or more beautiful than what I would imagine you to look like if you didn't have it.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, it's not appealing. And also, like, the highlighter on the tip of the nose drives me insane. I don't know what... you know, like, there's those trends.
People are playing, like, lighting tricks, and it's like, we see you in, like, this dimension, in this reality. Like, you're not... Yeah.
Like, that works for, like, on, like, if you're, like,
on camera. Like, yep.
I get it. Like, there's tricks of the trade. Mm-hmm. Like, I get that. But if I'm looking at you, like, here, and I can see that you have, like, just a white, like...
Yeah, like, I see what's happening here.
What's happening? And it's not a judgment. Like, it just doesn't translate in person.
I know.
You know what I mean? And just, I've seen so many beautiful women who just, like, do all this stuff. And I'm like, sis, like, you look so much, like...
Better,
like,
if you just...
Yeah.
I know. The other thing that...
I'm so awful.
No.
Sorry in advance.
No. You know what? Here's the thing. I think that it would be one thing if they were doing it because, like, that was their self-expression. But I think that a lot of women are doing it because they feel like that's just, like, what they're supposed to do.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Like, they just think that that's, like, a step in doing your makeup. Like, I think we've come to a point where, like, adding contour is just, like, another makeup step.
Right. Yeah.
Like putting on mascara.
Totally. Absolutely. And I'm just not down.
Yeah. Anything else that you're, like, totally over?
Oh, What else am I totally over? I am over white women in braids. I mean, I was never not over it, to be clear.
I feel like they're very emboldened now.
Yeah. They are literally giving us their asses to kiss. When I see it, I'm like...
Yeah, like, wow, you're just... Yeah. They're doing faux dreads. They're going in.
Well, Marc Jacobs did it a couple years ago, and then, like...
I remember. And he was like, I don't understand.
And
then, like, I think their PR director had to, like, apologize. There was a whole thing.
Well, he wasn't trying to apologize, but, yeah. Lace front wigs, I know.
So I also am not a fan, but okay. So actually, I've just been writing about Tokyo styles, mm-hmm. and I'm realizing that this whole wig culture,
yeah.
The idea that you can just totally change up your hair, like I could have orange hair and then green, and then never damage your own hair,
I think that's very cool.
I just very rarely see it executed by like a regular person in real. Like I never see it. I can always tell that you're wearing a wig.
Right. And I just feel like Tokyo Styles, who
is like a magician.
Yeah, talent-wise. He's a magician. I mean, the things he does with like Kylie Jenner and Cardi B, like, I mean, it is outstanding and amazing. But like regular women can't, like on a date, like they just like can't pull that off. Do you know what I mean? Like you can't. And then like you spend this exorbitant amount. You're spending $1,000 on a wig.
$1,000, I know.
I don't know. I just don't know. Like, again, and this is notwithstanding anyone who has like hair issues or like they're like, you know what I mean? Those sorts of things where the wig is necessary.
Totally.
Absolutely. But like, if you have the ability to do other things like braids or whatever, mm-hmm. like do that. You know, I don't know. It just has never, and maybe it's because I'm from the South where I see a lot of wigs are like, I know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But do you like, also feel like though, maybe it's the kind of thing where it's like, don't knock it till you try it. Like I've never tried a wig and I may get a wig one day and be like, you know what?
You like, may see me in like 2 weeks. I'm like, oh, hey, yeah. Remember that thing? Can you cut that out?
Yeah. Can you cut that? Because I'm living my best life.
Yeah. No, I've worn a couple of wigs. They weren't like proper lace fronts, but they were like, I had this big app. I used to do like wig Wednesdays at one of my old jobs where I just wear a wig because I was growing out with my shaved head.
You shaved all your hair?
Oh my God, yeah.
Oh yeah, I've seen a picture of you with your shaved hair.
Quite a few times, and I'm thinking hard about doing it again. And I loved it, and it was great, but it was one of those things, like, I could wear it if I wanted to. I just don't like the idea of having to depend on all these, like, artificial things. Because I don't think women understand, because they see these things on Instagram. They're just, like, I see some of these women, I'm like, you are so beautiful, and that's not me, like, being, like, a hokey sort of, like... You know what I mean? Like, everybody's beautiful. No. Like, you are literally gorgeous.
Yes.
Like, yeah. I want your skin. I see what's happening under all that stuff. Like, you don't have to. You know what I mean? Yeah. You just don't. But, like, also completely understand, like, self-expression and doing all that. And that's so fun. And obviously, I mean, I get that on an intrinsic level because I changed my own hair. So often, so I totally get that.
There's something just about like covering it all the time and then feeling like you need it.
Yeah, because it's almost, and it is a very like European ideal of having this like, you know, long silky hair. And I don't want that to be the norm, and I don't want that to be the
beauty standard.
Yeah, that what like these, you know, younger girls, 14, 15, are like seeing these, you know, influencers, whatever, like, they're all wearing wigs. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I think it's hard to be young now. But then also, I don't know. I see people like Jaden and Will. Like, there are also so many, like, such, like, dope, cool young kids that are just, outside of the box and doing interesting things. And, like, in a lot of ways, like, some of the younger generation, they're, like, so much cooler than, like...
Oh, my God, that I could ever hope to be in this life. Lucas Sabat.
Ugh.
Does a cooler person on a campaign to be his...
Have you met him?
No.
I feel like you guys would really vibe.
I love him so much.
You just reach out to him.
I should.
He'd probably be like, hey, sis.
Yeah. I'm like, I just want to be your auntie. You and your Arshahidi. Just come to my house. I'll cook you dinner. You can have a beer. I won't tell anybody.
Yes.
And we'll just hang. I see kids like that, or young adults. And I'm just like, okay, like we're going to be good. It's going to be fine. It's going to be great.
The future is going to be fine.
Yeah, it's going
to
be fine.
I do very much though want to hear about your skincare.
Oh yeah, of course.
Because you have, not only do you have no blemishes on your skin, you also have like an even skin tone. So you must be like, not only like nourishing and moisturizing your skin regularly, also exfoliating to like get that glow.
Yeah.
So, like, what are your secrets? Share them, please.
Well, first of all, I don't drink nearly enough water. So let's start with that. I need to drink more water. It's so bad.
I mean, everyone needs to drink more water.
It's true.
It's true. I am so, like, moisturizing is...
A religion.
It's a religion. And not just, like, my face.
Your whole body.
I get out of the shower, and I am legit, like, a grease pig from top to bottom. I love Shea Moisture has a, like, just a massage oil. Mm. It's just a massage oil.
Have you looked at what oils are on the back?
I have not.
I'm sure it's, like, sweet almond oil.
That is definitely in there. And, like, jojoba and some other things. Yeah.
You could mix those.
And then for skin, I keep it really simple. Like, I do exfoliate. What brand is that? Fresh does a exfoliant. I forgot the name of it. But it's super great. Super easy to use. It's really simple. And it's, I mean... It's mid-range price.
Okay. And how often do you exfoliate?
Like once a week.
Okay. You don't overdo it.
No.
Have you always had good skin, though?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing. It's genetic. It's always genetic.
My mom just has like the most gorgeous skin. She's going to be 60.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know that she has a wrinkle on her face. I'm like, who are you? And she doesn't do anything. Like, she just wakes up and leaves the house and puts on whatever, like a vino or whatever's in the bathroom. Like, whatever. But yeah, no, I keep it super simple. I did start using like Dennis Grossman does like these exfoliant pads.
I love those.
They're really good.
The ones that are like the two sides, like part one, put the alpha hydroxy pads. Yes, love those.
I just started using those.
They're expensive, but I love, and they kind of sting.
They
and
do.
I'm like, but I like it.
Yeah, it's like a masochistic thing where it's like, this must be working. It stings. It's like,
So I do started, like those.
Yeah. And I use those like once or twice. Like,
yeah, you can't do it too often because your skin will get irritated. Yeah. But I do like those.
But I do have incredibly strong skin though. Like, I don't get irritated by much. Or like, if I'm, sometimes my face gets really dry because I do have incredibly dry skin. I'll just put like face lotion on my face, and people are like, "Oh no!"
Wait, you put body lotion on your face?
I have, like, in a pinch. I just like, I know it's so bad, but like
that stresses me out. Like, I'm literally stressed thinking about it.
No, like, what's it called? What's that?
It's like when people go to sleep with makeup on. I'm like, I'm so stressed out. Like,
I know.
Please take your makeup off. Oh my gosh, no, that really stresses me out too.
I know it's bad. I know that it's bad. It's so awful.
It's fine. I mean, there are worse things.
Yeah, but it's really not good. But I mean, like, you know, like I said, I'm 36, and I start to see like those like small little things, like a little wrinkle here, a little wrinkle there.
I don't see any wrinkles, but
bless your life. But you know, like you look at your face every day, you see like small little changes.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like really cognizant about like how I take care of my skin and what that looks like, and what do I need to do to make sure that, you know, it stays looking as soft and supple as it can.
Yeah. You know? And you have all of these amazing tattoos. When did you get your first one?
When I was 18. My dad took me with my 18th birthday.
What? Your dad sounds really cool.
He's fantastic. I mean, he was resistant, but I mean, you know, I was sort of like a knucklehead kid. And they're like, if that's what you want, fine. My mom was like, you're going to go. She had this idea that I was going to like, the needle was going to go in my spine because I obviously got a tramp stamp for my first.
Oh my
God. It says princess. So absurd.
That's kind of amazing, though.
It's so stupid, but I won't ever get rid of it.
Yeah, and also, like, you can't see it.
No, you can't see it.
Yeah.
You never can see it.
Do people ever comment on it?
Only people I know.
Like, they're like, what's
friends.
This
our
about?
Are like, oh, hey, princess. I'm like, whatever. Yeah, it's just like, it's terrible. But I think I'm up to 18.
People say it's really addictive.
It is. It is. And mine aren't, I'm like, I don't believe in, like, for me, like, oh, it needs to be really special. It needs to, like, have a super meaning. I mean, most of mine do, but then also, like, I got this, like, weird hand tattoo in Utah because that was just an Utah.
I like that one.
And I got Stay Woke because why
Stay
not?
Stay Woke.
I'm sure that will eventually be so far out of, not trendy anymore, but, you know, it's one of those things. It's like you just have it and it's
a
time in your life and you'll just remember it.
It reminds you of, like, a specific time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's painful, right?
Yeah, anyone who says otherwise is full of shit.
Lying.
Yeah.
The people like, the thing is, like, when I interview women who have had tattoos, they're like, but, like, I like it. I'm like, no.
No, I hate it. I hate it.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
I feel like I'd be
will
crying.
Never know how I have as many as I do, because I do not have a high threshold for pain.
But
all.
You must.
I think the art and knowing that, you know, like, that I'm going to be able to have something that's really beautiful on my skin and I love the way it looks.
Yeah.
Sort of just like outranks the pain, but it's painful and I have to like stop, and I'm not above like coming back from multiple sessions.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
That's very honest and very real.
Yeah. Because a lot of people say that. I'm like, that's just not true. Like, they hurt. It's a needle just like, you know what I mean?
Going into your skin.
Yeah. And like this one, like, was the worst pain I've ever
had.
I'm
sure because it's very...
It's awful. Awful.
So if you could like go back to like, let me pick a specific age, like let's say 12.
Mm-hmm.
Like 12-year-old you, and like you saw you now, like looking as cool as you look, mm-hmm. like doing what you do for work, like mm-hmm. all tatted up. Like, would you be like, that's about right? Or would you be like, what?
Let me think about 12-year-old me.
For in my head, like looking back at 12-year-old me, I was cool. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
but you didn't realize it.
I didn't realize it. People, you know, when you're 12, nobody wants to be really, you don't want to be different. So like, you know, I had no problem. Like I wore this suit. I remember I begged my mother for this like houndstooth two-piece suit. To okay. wear with these sounds like Mary Janes.
It sounds like you were really cool.
not at all.
I mean, you had like a Janelle Monáe moment at 12.
I was so proud of that outfit, and I got to school, and they clowned me so hard. But aww. Even then, I was just like, fuck you. Like, so I think, so.
Okay, so you were always cool. You were different.
Yeah, I was like, I was an outlier. Yeah. But I still had like lots of friends. I didn't have a terrible, like.
You weren't bullied?
No. I had a great, like, middle school, high school experience. Tons of, like, different types of friends, and. But I was also like a cheerleader and homecoming queen, which is what? No one ever believes. Or no one ever like, they're like, what?
And you were like, a cheerleader and homecoming queen? I mean, you have a very positive outlook and like you're very smiley and happy. So it's not like that shocking, but like it just feels like
it's yeah.
That's like more of like a basic.
No, for sure. But I enjoyed it. I really did. Like it wasn't one of those things where I was like, oh, I just did it. No, I was really
you
into
liked it.
It.
There's a lot of athleticism that goes into cheerleading. Do you work out now?
No, hell no. I need to. I don't. I do try. I did start. So I like gained quite a bit of weight. Like when I started taking antidepressants and mm-hmm. just like work and all that stuff. I started tracking my macronutrients, which is like your carbs, your fats, your proteins. And I lost like 30 pounds.
Wow.
Really
quickly.
Did you
just use like an app, like MyFitnessPal?
I use an app. And then one of my friends from high school started this thing called Strong Moms. And I was like, well, I'm not a mom, but I need to lose weight. And she's like, come on, let's do it. And
is it a website?
It's an Instagram, Strong Moms and Diet Doc.
Okay, I'll link to it in the show notes.
Oh my God, yeah. Because it truly changed my life.
Really?
Yeah, it did. It really did. Like I tried like those other like Instagram fitness programs, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, where you eat brown rice and boiled chicken every day. And I was like, I can't live my life like this because I enjoy living mm-hmm. in the excess of like a piece of pizza every now and again
yeah.
or like chocolate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Have to know what the big picture is so that you can adjust
moderate.
Where needed.
Yeah. And so with counting your macros, you can just like count those things. And that means you have to have like a salad or like egg whites for breakfast or whatever. And it's like a lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's
no,
makes
it's
me happy.
I feel like there have been certain times when I've gained weight and like I kind of like not panic, but like mm-hmm. then I remind myself like, oh, like you can get back to mm-hmm. where you were if mm-hmm. you just, it's not going to be immediate. Like it's not going to be like in a week, but like if you slowly but surely work towards it, like you'll get back to where you want. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm back there now and it feels good. Good to
yeah,
be
I mean,
my
you,
fighting weight.
You look like you're in great shape. Like I would think that you like worked out all the time.
I need to work out. I don't ever want to be one of those people who's like, oh no, I don't work out. No, I need to.
I think you have like the benefit of having like an athletic frame. So
I'm
people probably
long.
Like, yeah, people
I'm
probably just
long.
Like assume that you're really fit.
Yeah.
Even if you're not.
At
also
all.
Though, okay, walking around, like I love LA, but like the just car to car to car, like
totally.
I can't do it. Like New York has a built-in active lifestyle factor that I really appreciate.
For sure. It's like built-in cardio just every single day.
Yeah. So even if you don't work out, like you're getting a workout just living in New York.
True.
Walking upstairs, walking everywhere.
So true.
What about fragrance? Are you a fragrance girl?
I'm an oils girl, what do you call it? Like Palo
Essential.
Santo, like that sort of, like, you know what I mean? Like I do have some fragrances, like Gucci Bloom is like, sometimes I'll wear that when I'm feeling like real ladylike. But in general, I like to feel
I love
smell
Palo Santo
earthy.
Oil.
Yeah, I love it so much. And it's just so easy to wear. And you can like, I forgot who, it was someone that always smelled so good. And finally one day I was like, what are you wearing? Like I've been trying. He's like, oh, just like Palo Santo oil. And I was like, great.
Yeah.
And so that's usually what I'm wearing, something like that.
Yeah.
And it lasts forever. Like oils last so
much,
much
longer.
And I'll just mix them in with my lotion. And so you just get like
smart.
Yeah. You just like, especially with the oils, it's so much easier. And that your whole body's like, but you have to be close to smell it. You know
what
I mean?
But once you get it, it's like, it's a whole body thing.
Yeah. Well, because that's what I like. That's the kind of smell I want to smell in someone else. It's like, I'm just in your personal space and mm-hmm. I can smell you. I don't want to smell you from across the room. You know what I mean? And I think it's something.
Some people do too much.
Too much. But there's something so like sensual and sexy about being close to someone and smelling their scent.
Totally.
You know what I mean? And that's what I try to mirror. And when I do the oil, it helps.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, final question.
All right.
When do you feel most beautiful?
Right after I get out of the shower.
Mm.
When I'm like I've put on all my lotion and I'm like,
I have still might have my head wrap on, but my skin is glowing.
And you're just clean.
Just clean.
About to get moisturized.
Yeah. Or right after a long day at the beach when you're just like brown and just like
kind of exhausted from the sun, but like your skin's loving a little hot.
Those are my two moments. My everyday moment is like out the shower. My when I can moment is like coming like out of the beach after being out there cooking for a little bit.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Crystal, for being on the show and sharing.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. And I will link to all of your I need to link to your stories because you've written some great stuff.
Oh, yeah, please do.
And then also your fabulous Instagram so everyone can be inspired to just like be their best version of themselves and try new things. Because I think, honestly, like it seems kind of like, oh, like I'm posting pictures of myself in outfits, but it's so much deeper than like what, like when you post your outfits, like it's so much deeper.
I try to post like a funny caption. So it's like people get like self-deprecating and like silly.
Yeah. You have a great sense of humor, but it's also just like art. It's like, wow. Like the proportions and the colors, like this is,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That means a lot to me.
Aww. All right.
I appreciate it.
Thank you guys so much for listening. This has been the Naked Beauty Podcast. Yay, wasn't that such a good conversation? I think Crystal is so special. Definitely follow her on Instagram, Beer Bottles and Chainsaws, which is like an amazing name. She serves looks for days and has a great sense of humor and just a great outlook. I really, really encourage you guys to find her, check out her writing. I've linked to everything in the show notes as usual. Do you guys appreciate like my thorough show notes? I spend so much time on the show notes. Sometimes like my husband sees me like hunched over my laptop, like furiously typing, and he's like, babe, like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm writing the show notes. They're very important. I hope you guys find them useful. If you find them useful, let me know. At me at Naked Beauty Planet. Let me know if you like ever look at the links or the show notes or try any of the products that we discuss on this show, because I spend a lot of time on them. I hope someone's using them. All right. And I definitely want to give love to the sponsor, Curology Skincare, customized skincare for busy people that may not have time to go to the dermatologist, but it's entirely customized to you. They're very transparent about all of the ingredients used. You get a personal provider that you can message with, you send pictures to. She checks in on you each month. All of the Naked Beauty listeners get their first month free. You only have to cover shipping. There is a link in my show notes to check out Curology. If you guys like it, also let me know. I love hearing from all of you. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. Until next time. This episode has been mixed by Layla Aweda.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.